One. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Fireside Giants. I'm your host, Anthony Rovardo, joined by my co-host, Alex Wilson. And the New York Giants still have yet to fill their void at CB2. Of course, we know Deonte Banks stepping into that CB1 role this upcoming season. Played it for the most part as a rookie, which wasn't the expectation. We all thought kind of he would play CB2 when he was drafted. Adoree Jackson would stay CB1. Adoree Jackson really struggled, though, in the 2023 season. They tried to move him into the slot. Didn't work. Went back outside. Still didn't work. Now he's a free agent, and the Giants really don't have an established starting number two cornerback. So what's their solution there? Do they have an option on the roster? We'll talk about a few guys that maybe could step into that role. Could they go into free agency and still sign somebody with the limited cap space that we have? We'll talk about a few players who are available as free agents that the Giants could target, or maybe they wait all the way until the NFL draft. And again, there are some prospects that we like, maybe on day two, that the Giants could target one way or another. They do have to find a new starter probably at CB2, and we're going to go ahead and talk about some of those options that they have in today's episode. But before we do so, make sure to leave a like if you enjoy, subscribe to the channel if you're new, ring the bell so you don't miss an episode, comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you listen to Apple or Spotify, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review and go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. But before we dive into this, Alex, I want to give a special shout out to Edward York Jr., 85-year-old Giants fan out there who never misses an episode. Your son reached out to us, wanted a shout out for you, and I'm happy to shout you out because we do appreciate your support and your dedication to the channel. Guys, we are nearing 20,000 subs. We are less than 100 subs away from that mile marker. I just want to take this time real quick to say thank you for that. We appreciate the support. We're really excited for what we have cooking up, a 20K sub special. Stay tuned to that. So let's go ahead and dive into this one, though. Alex, talk about these CB2s. How are you doing today, my friend? And who are you looking at as a potential CB2 option for the Giants in 2024?
I'm doing pretty good, and yeah, definitely a special shout-out to Ed York Jr. Endured 30 years of futility before the arrival of Lawrence Taylor and Bill Parcells, so we kind of feel you right now, definitely going through our own little age of futility over the last decade or so, and now we're hoping that the Giants can turn things around in this upcoming draft class, figure out the future, and hopefully get us back to a respectable level of performance on a year-by-year basis. But the cornerback position, my friends, yeah, it's interesting right now. The free agency class was deep, still is a little bit deep. There's a lot of veterans out there. Guys like Sean Murphy Bunting, you know, some players that were connected to Shane Bowen with the Tennessee Titans have since signed. There is one guy I know Anthony wants to discuss, and Christian Fulton, a guy that spent the last 4 years with Tennessee. So he definitely has a lot of experience in Bowen's system. So maybe there is a link there. We'll discuss that. The Giants currently have about $6.3 million in available salary space. So keep in mind, they can open up $25 million by restructuring the contracts of Andrew Thomas and Dexter Lawrence, but that is a last resort. You don't necessarily want to do that. I don't think they restructure both this offseason. That $6.3 million probably gets directly applied to the draft class. That probably covers the majority of that. But at the same time, the Giants also have the ability to open up the $25 million. I think if they clear, I think it's Andrew Thomas, they can open up $14 million, if I'm not mistaken, on that contract. So they can fit basically the draft class and a low-level corner, maybe a mid-tier corner, rather, under that, and then have a little bit left over. But if they also need a safety, you're going to need the full $25 million here. They could restructure Bobby Okereke and open up a couple million. Or, you know, you just cut Darren Waller, he ends up leaving, and you save the $7 million there, which is the equivalent of probably of a cornerback that you might be able to get. So yesterday, I believe Mike Garofalo said that Tre'Davious White, a former Buffalo Bill, has been going and visiting a couple teams. A couple other teams are going to be interested. Let's start off there. He is injury prone, coming off a couple of bad seasons. However, Tre'Davious White at the peak of his game was a very good player. Are you interested at all in maybe signing him to a very cheap, affordable one-year deal?
Well, it depends how cheap we're talking, and it depends how healthy he is. He needs to obviously pass a physical. I don't really remember when Tre'Davious White got hurt. I don't remember how early into the season it was. I'll try to double check that, but I don't know if he's going to be ready for the regular season. I think that there's still some research that the Giants would need to do on that one. Okay, so he played in 4 games this year, so seemingly injured within the first month of the season. So does that mean that he's going to be ready for the start of week one? Questionable. Probably is ready for the start of week one, believe coming off of a torn ACL. And listen, Tre'Davious White at one point in his career was looked at as a top 3 to 5 cornerback in the NFL. I'm talking back in 2019, though. We're talking almost 5 years ago. Was he that great of a player? And since then, he's dealt with a lot of injuries. He hasn't played a full season since 2018. Even that dominant 2019 first team All-Pro season that he had, he missed a couple games. He did have 6 interceptions that year, though. 17 passes defended. Again, he was incredible that year. 2020, back to the Pro Bowl, but then 2021, only 11 games played, 6 games played in 22, and only 4 games this past season. So we've seen a pretty steep drop-off in productivity from Tre'Davious White and availability from Tre'Davious White. He used to be available back in 2019, but again, that was 5 years ago, and it's been a long time since he spent the majority of the season actually playing football. He spent the majority of the past 2 seasons on the sidelines. So, Trey White, I think he would be a great player if he's healthy, but of course, keeping him healthy has been a problem. So, what I would see with Tre'Davious White if the Giants were to go out and sign him, yes, you can bring him on as a potential CB2 option, but you still have to add more talent. It would have to be Tre'Davious White plus another guy, whether that be another draft pick or whether that be another free agent cornerback. He's not enough to account for both an upgrade in talent and an upgrade in depth. You could look at it as, okay, our floor is higher, or our ceiling is higher, rather. Our ceiling is higher because Tre'Davious White is there, and if he stays healthy, we have a great cornerback, but our floor is not any higher here in terms of our depth because we know that he's a massive injury risk. So if you do add Trey White, you got to add another player in there. Would be a good player, interesting on maybe a one-year prove-it deal, but like I said, his health is a major concern, so he's not really a player that I would be super excited about the Giants going out there and signing. I think that what they really need right now is availability in that cornerback spot. They just need somebody to stabilize CB2 opposite Deontay Banks, a veteran. And again, I like a guy who knows the system. I think that Christian Fulton makes a lot of sense. Not saying he's a game breaker. He's not the best player in the world by any means, but he does have that experience, like you mentioned, Alex, in Shane Bowen's scheme, has been with the Titans for 4 years. So coming over here to the Giants and playing under his defensive coordinator, easy transition. So that's why I like Christian Fulton, Alex. How do you feel about the Giants potentially making a connection signing here so that they can bring some continuity over with Shane Bowen's new defensive scheme?
Well, I think we've already seen them do it once with Jermaine Illuminor and Carmen Basilio. So, you know, there is an obvious tangible connection there, and the Giants have leaned into some of those connections in the past, notably with Illuminor. So Christian Fulton makes a ton of sense. He's only 25 years old, so there's a level of development that maybe they can achieve. He's 5'11", 197 pounds, decent frame, former second-round pick out of LSU. I think that Jerome Henderson, rather, our DB's coach, is a very good DB's coach. I think he's one of the highly regarded coaches in the league. So if you're Christian Fulton, rather, and you're the Giants, and you're thinking to yourself, well, maybe we go and get this 25-year-old guy who has had some issues with the Tennessee Titans in the past, notably in the tackling department. He has never had a missed tackle rate below 13.5%. Last year was at 20.4%. He missed 11 tackles. He did have 39 tackles. In coverage, he gave up 577 yards, three touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and 2 pass breakups with 6 penalties. He's, by a lot of accounts, not a great player. He played only 644 snaps. Looking at his the metrics here, it looked like teams kind of picked on him a bit. It also seems to me that the Tennessee Titans defense was really bad. That could have been another, you could probably attribute a little bit of that to a lack of pressure that they created. Maybe their coverage had to hold up for too long. Maybe their safety was awful and they couldn't really manage around that. There's a lot of different things that play into a cornerback maybe getting picked on or beat up on if the pass rush is just simply not hitting home. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you, like, I know everything about Christian Fulton. I'm just reading his numbers, but there's a lot of context that goes into that. The more concerning one for me is the missed tackle rate. He does miss a lot of tackles, which I think is something that you can probably point to and say, yeah, like, okay, that isn't an obvious one that we can point at and say that's doesn't need much context to come to a conclusion with. But probably a cheaper option. I think he would have signed already if he was highly sought after. The veterans on the board include guys like Xavier Howard. Adoree Jackson is still out there. Maybe if his market dries up, the Giants could bring him back. I do still like Adoree Jackson. He's only 28 years old. I know you were a proponent of potentially bringing him back later on, earlier this offseason. If the market dried up and Adoree Jackson wasn't able to get a big deal, is he someone that you would consider bringing back on like a 1-2 year deal until he's 30 years old, then moving on from then? Maybe a 2-year deal, but with the guarantees front loaded so you can move on after 2024?
Well, you said if the market dries up and he's not able to get a big deal, the market has already dried up and he's not getting a big deal. That's where we're at with these cornerbacks. We're over almost 2 weeks down into free agency, and these players who have not signed just yet are not signing for the price tags that they want to. In fact, most of them probably won't sign until after the draft. So these are guys where if the Giants go into the draft hoping to fix CB2, they can't fix it in the draft. They're going to come back to a lot of these guys. Like Christian Fulton might still be around. I think for sure Tre'Davious White will still be around after the draft. I think that's a player that teams are going to want to look at post-draft in the spring. How healthy is he then? Can he be out there for off-season conditioning and training? What can his impact be for the upcoming season? That's just to circle back on Trey White. I don't think that's a signing that's imminent for most teams. I could be wrong. And I also feel the same way about Adoree Jackson. I don't think that's a guy that anybody is rushing to get signed under contract. So yeah, I'd be open to it, but it would be one of those things where let's see if we can find something better. Let's see if we can find someone younger who's a better scheme fit, like Christian Fulton. Christian Fulton fits in this scheme. I know you're concerned about the missed tackle rate. I'm not all that concerned because he's not a linebacker. You know, he is a cornerback, and in coverage, he's been pretty decent the last couple years. I mean, in 2022, he had a reception rate of only 56.9%. That's a pretty solid number. You'll see a lot of cornerbacks in this NFL, even widely considered to be great cornerbacks in the NFL, with reception rates over 60 to 70%. 56.9% is a good metric for Christian Fulton. Now, if you're looking at Adoree Jackson and what he could bring back, well, first of all, familiarity with the building, with the teammates, with the coaching staff, that's huge, plus his leadership skills. I still like Adoree Jackson. I just didn't like him at the price point that he was at, because when he was signed to that deal in 2020, he was worth it. By the time he got to the end of that deal in 2023, he was no longer playing up to that price tag. So now we're talking about maybe extending him or re-signing him on a much cheaper price point. I think I'd be here for it. I think that Adoree Jackson still adds value to this team, to this defense, and to this locker room. And so if he isn't able to find a deal elsewhere, I could see him joining back with the Giants. But I do know Adoree Jackson, in an interview with the New York Post earlier this offseason, said he doesn't expect to be back with the Giants. He would be open to it, would like to be back, but he also wants to go to an opportunity where he can win a Super Bowl. So for Jackson, it is up to whether or not he feels like the Giants have gotten better this offseason and whether or not they're going to win more games, because that's what he's prioritizing. He told that to the New York Post. He said that he wants to try and win a Super Bowl before his career is over, because he is getting up there in age. And so I don't know if he's looking at the Giants as that situation for him. But again, there is continuity here. There's familiarity. So maybe they do bring him back on a cheap deal. But I do think ultimately, Alex, they're going to go in a different direction probably and find a new fresh face to bring into the building. Someone who's a bit younger, but still an established veteran. Again, Fulton just coming off of his four-year rookie contract, being a 25-year-old veteran. I think somewhere in that range, someone who's around 25 to 27, just coming off of a rookie contract maybe, or a short-term deal after that, someone in that range who's still young enough to be competitive and not dry up too fast, so they could sign them to maybe a two-year deal like you mentioned about Jackson. But Jackson, Adoree Jackson, I think is not somebody that I would want to sign to a two-year deal or anything like that, just because he is getting up there in age, and cornerbacks often have a pretty rapid decline in terms of production. Like, as soon as they hit the age of 30, they can really fall off. So we've seen that quite a bit with cornerbacks in the NFL. So Adoree Jackson, yes, I'd be open to bringing him back. I don't know if he's going to want to come back super badly. And again, I think that they should go a little bit younger at the position. Alex, how do you feel about that? Prioritizing guys who maybe are a few years younger than Adoree Jackson, just to make sure that you're not signing somebody to have them immediately start regressing in their play.
Yeah, I mean, I think that definitely makes a lot of sense. Another option you could throw out there is Avonta Maddox, formerly of the Philadelphia Eagles. Only played 211 snaps last year, but played 522 in 2022. Had pretty decent coverage grades, gave up 256 yards, had two pass breakups and an interception, had five pass breakups the year before. You know, he's been inconsistent. Some years better than others when it comes to tackling, but, you know, like you said, you're not so much concerned about that. Last year, over that small sample size, gave up 261 yards. He did have two pass breakups. So, not my favorite option. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, like, I want Avonta Maddox to be CB2 for the Giants. I definitely think that would be a kind of a gamble and probably a liability, if we're being quite honest with you. But I know you have a guy in the draft. So, let's talk about two things really quickly. The players we already have on our roster, and then maybe a draft prospect the Giants could look at in the second round. So what are our thoughts on Trey Hawkins right now? Because I know Trey Hawkins last year lit up training camp, looked fantastic over the summer. You know, he had a couple issues with tackling. He really dropped out of the starting group against the 49ers. He missed like six tackles that game. He wasn't putting in the effort. He looked scared out there. Is this a situation where you think Hawkins has a lot of developmental upside? You're still optimistic about him. Will he have an opportunity to win that job, or do you think he's more so going to be buried by a free agent or whatever it might be? I still think he has good tools, needs some growth, development. Maybe that 1 year of experience helps him a lot. Do you think that he could end up with that CB2 role?
Yeah, I still think that he could. I'm not banking on it, though, and that's kind of why we're having this topic of conversation where the Giants need to add talent to this cornerback room because the guys that they have in there are pretty unproven. Trey Hawkins is one. I'd say Nick McCloud is the other one who's contending for that CB2 job on the roster right now, and I think you could even throw Cordell Flott into that mix. I know that the Giants seem to like Flott in the slot, and that's probably where he's going to play as a nickel corner, but don't discount the idea that maybe he does move outside and plays out wide on the boundary because of the lack of depth the Giants have there. They might prioritize having depth on the boundary over having depth in the slot. They have a few guys who they feel probably could play in the slot if they need them to. But with Trey Hawkins, I think that it was a rough rookie season, but I think what I'm going to kind of go back to is a point that I also made about Deonte Banks. I don't think that any of these guys were able to maximize their potential in Wink Martindale's system. It was very aggressive, it was very blitz heavy, and it put guys on that one-on-one man coverage way too often and in really difficult situations. I'm talking like you would have a third and short and Trey Hawkins is playing off man against CD Lamb. Like, that's really what Wink Martindale was asking his guys to do. Who's succeeding in that scenario, especially if you're a sixth round rookie and it's your first month playing NFL football and you're being asked to play off man on a third and short situation against CD Lamb? Like, these are things that were happening last year, and it wasn't a fault of Trey Hawkins. It really was, in my opinion, a fault of the coaching staff and a fault of Wink Martindale, which is why when the idea of Wink Martindale being fired or resigning, whatever, when it came up, I said, I'm actually not going to be upset about that. I'm fine going in a new direction defensively. I think that the Giants should be playing more zone, should be relying more on a four-man rush, and should be playing a more conservative defense. And guess what, guys? They will be doing all those things because that's the principle, or those are the principles that Shane Bowen implements in his defensive scheme. Four-man rush, zone coverage, sit back, play conservatively, and just let the best man win. No longer getting cute and aggressive and just blitzing all over the place and putting guys on one-on-one tricky situations and man coverage. We're not going to see that anymore. So Trey Hawkins, I think that he could succeed in this new defensive scheme. He'll be asked to do less, but he'll be able to do more in this defensive scheme. And I feel that way about all of these cornerbacks. I actually think that we're going to see a huge breakout from Deonte Banks this year. I know that's a little bit off topic from where we are. We're talking about CB2, but CB2, CB1, they play in tandem of each other. If one's playing great, the other one is playing better. So I think that Deonte Banks in this new scheme, where he's able to play a little bit more of a man-match zone coverage defense, like we're going to see from Shane Bowen, I'm expecting really big things from Deonte Banks this year, and I expect the CB2 position to play better as well because they're not going to be asked to be in man coverage 45% of the time, which is a lot. That is a lot of man coverage that Wink Martindale was deploying last year. And not only that, it's not like he was playing man coverage with a four-man rush where you got extra zone defenders out there. I'm talking there was a lot of cover one, a lot of cover zero. Like, he was just going all at it, and that was really putting the cornerbacks in a vulnerable position. So when you're looking at their coverage grades on Pro Football Focus or their completion rates that they were letting up, you got to keep in mind a lot of it was a product of the scheme. Oftentimes they were told to give up the reception, make the tackle at the sticks, bring up fourth and short. So that drives into those coverage grades and those reception stats or those coverage stats as well for the cornerbacks. So I'm kind of going on a long tangent here about Wink Martindale and the position that he put his players in, which I don't think was a successful one. He put a lot of them in vulnerable positions, but I do think that Trey Hawkins, yes, he was a young kid and he was not ready to be a starter in the NFL as a rookie, for sure. But when it was practice and it was talent versus talent in training camp, his talent was shining through against some of the Giants' best receivers. Now, they don't have a lot of good receivers. I mean, they have some decent guys, but, you know, they don't have an alpha dog out there. So it's not like Trey Hawkins was being tested against a CeeDee Lamb until he faced CeeDee Lamb. But still, when he was playing and it was just talent versus talent, Trey Hawkins' talent was shining through. So I'm not going to discount the kid. I think he has a potential. Another strong summer of practices, playing in a better scheme that's more adapted to his skill set. I think that he could be the CB2 long term. I don't know if he could step in and be that right away. And either way, I still think he's going to wind up being pretty solid depth for the Giants long term anyway. But Alex, I want to ask your thoughts about Nick McCloud. The Giants just tendered him to give themselves some much needed depth on the cornerback spot. I think he's on a 3-year or a 1-year, $3 million deal, whatever it is the tender was. But Nick McCloud is a player who didn't play a ton last year, but played as a depth piece. But when he was on the field, I thought showed some things. I thought had a few flashes, like that game against Philadelphia where he forced that fumble against A.J. Brown and made a couple nice plays in coverage against A.J. Brown. So he could play against physicality. I like Nick McCloud as this depth piece, but still him, Hawkins. I know I kind of spoke highly of Hawkins there for a second, but I don't really trust either of these guys to take that CB2 role just yet. But I do view them both pretty highly as depth pieces pieces for the Giants. How do you feel about Nick McLeod and I guess even Trey Hawkins if you want to share some more thoughts on him?
Honestly, Nick McLeod's a pretty decent player. Maybe this is a similar situation to what the Giants did last year at strong safety with Jason Pinnock, like going into training camp or sitting there like, who's our strong safety? And then apparently the Giants were really high on Pinnock the whole time and they viewed him as a starting safety. So maybe they're feeling the same way about Nick McLeod. I don't necessarily think that's the right way to go about it. I think they should add some veteran competition or at least someone who has experience a little bit more so than McLeod and Trey Hawkins. But maybe they just say, you know what? We like McLeod. We like Trey Hawkins. Let's let them battle it out. And we also have Cordell Flott who could be there for a position battle as well. McLeod played 312 snaps last year, had an 80.7 coverage grade according to PFF, gave up, 152 yards, gave up one touchdown, had an interception and a pass breakup, didn't have a single penalty against him. As you mentioned, played some good against some good teams. Against Washington, he didn't give up a single reception. They didn't even target him. Against Philadelphia in week 18, he gave up 29 yards on three receptions on five targets and, you know, didn't miss a tackle. Was pretty solid in that regard. So, you know, good tackler, physical, kind of underrated at 25 years old. You know, maybe they're like, if you look at him, and I'll ask you this, like if you look at Christian Fulton and they look at Nick McLeod, maybe you just roll with McLeod and see if he can develop into that better player. They're about the same age. You know, he's been with the Giants for a couple of years. I know he has less experience, but seems to be a little bit better of a tackler. You know, maybe there's an argument to make that they could kind of set up a position battle between Hawkins, Cordell Flott, and McLeod. What do you think about kind of an internal competition there instead of adding maybe like a $7+ million per season corner?
Well, Christian Fulton is definitely not a $7+ million per season corner, I can tell you that much. I don't think any of the cornerbacks that are going to get signed right now, outside of maybe Stephon Gilmore or a few others, are worth that much. Whatever cornerback the Giants end up signing in free agency is going to be probably closer to the $3 to $4 million range. I know the spot rack market value is going to say differently, but that's projecting them getting signed at the beginning of free agency. 2 weeks into free agency, nobody has that cap space. They're not getting signed at market value, so they're all going to go for a fraction of that price. So a guy like Christian Fulton, not making that much money, but asking me, do I think the Giants should be comfortable with who they have on their roster? They should be comfortable with these guys as depth pieces, but realistically, we do need to see a little bit more on the roster in terms of outside talent. I think that they do need to add a guy in free agency, whether that's Fulton due to his familiarity with the scheme or whether that's somebody else. I like Nick McLeod a lot. Like I said, I really like the way that he played against A.J. Brown against the Philadelphia Eagles in that home game in Week 18. I thought that was maybe one of the best cornerback performances we've seen from a New York Giants player over the last three seasons was that game McLeod had versus A.J. Brown and the Eagles. So I like McLeod. There is definitely something there to develop, but I would not rely on the 1 to 3 games that we saw from him where he flashed that potential and bank on him developing into the full-time starter at CB2. That is not something that I would expect. So yes, I like him. I think there's a good chance that he does have the Jason Pinnock situation that you mentioned. Maybe he does develop into that CB2. But either way, the Giants still need to add talent. And again, I would like some veteran talent to stabilize that position since the CB1 of the group is going into only his second season. Deontay Banks is still very young, so I think that some veteran depth at that spot would help too. But I also do like some of the options in the draft, Alex. There is a player in the second round that I think the Giants could target with the number 47 overall pick. I know I sent him over to you, so you could have a quick look at Georgia cornerback Kamari Lassiter. Now, this is a guy who is not exactly the most physically gifted. He's 5'11", 186, so maybe a little skinny, but he's very aggressive, plays much larger than his size would suggest. His 40-yard dash, he didn't run it at the combine, he ran it at his pro day. It was like a 4.6, so he's not very quick in that regard, but his shuttle times, his agility drills were explosive. He ran those at a very high level at the combine. So the long speed, not necessarily there. However, his agility is there, and it shows up on his tape. He's got really quick feet, and he does match players very well in man coverage, and again, plays with a ton of physicality. I watched him blow up a screen pass on Xavier Leggett, and I think he's the only player that I saw knock Xavier Leggett backwards with power out of all of the clips that I watched of Xavier Leggett, and I watched a lot of Xavier Leggett. So I really like Kamari Lassiter. I think he's aggressive. I think he's physical, and I think that as a CB2 with a high floor, that's what you're looking at with Kamari Lassiter. Just one of those guys who maybe never leads a CB room, maybe is never the number one player in a secondary, but as a complimentary piece, as a guy who just gives you a little bit of stability and versatile man coverage and zone coverage looks, I think Kamari Lassiter is a pretty solid prospect. Alex, how do you feel about him potentially being an option in the second round for the Giants?
Yeah, I mean, look, if the Giants want to go in this direction, depends on what they do in the first round, if they go quarterback or receiver. But if they go receiver, you kind of open up the board to say, well, let's go address a position that we could add a really young player to compete alongside Deontay Banks, maybe take that CB2 role. And look, Lasseter's only 21 years old, so you love that. A little bit thin at 6 foot, 180 pounds, but it's coming off a really good season as a multi-year starter for Georgia. And, you know, this is a situation where if you're the Giants, and you kind of mentioned how good of a tackler he is, he's never had a double-digit missed tackle season. So you love that about him. He's physical. He's aggressive. You know, I do like the fact that the Giants have an opportunity here to say to themselves, well, you know, we like what we have on our roster, but let's add another really young player with developmental upside to be a cost-efficient option at CB2. Like, imagine a defense that has two starting cornerbacks on rookie deals. You know, you obviously you'd have to figure out what happens at safety, whether they sign somebody. I know they got Jalen Mills, but that's not really a solution to me. You know, maybe they like Jarvarius Owens a lot. Maybe they literally like Dane Belton. Right now, our secondary is composed of basically all guys on veteran deals or very small contracts like Jason Pinnock has. And our defensive line has a rookie contract in Kayvon Thibodeau. You know, Dexter Lawrence is paid and Brian Burns are paid. But everybody else is cheap as nothing. You know, they're potato chips. So I kind of feel like right now, if you're the Giants, you think to yourself, you know, Lasseter, cheap option for 4 years, developmental upside. We can now, like, think about what that opens up, though, right? You already have $30 million per season addressed toward Brian Burns. Dexter Lawrence, I think, is like 27, if I'm, you know, correct on that one. So you have two players on defense that are paid. Everybody else, except for Bobby Okereke at $10 million per season, which is, by the way, is a freaking gamble for him, is basically not paid anything. So what you like about that is you can take all that extra money and throw it at the offense. You know, whether it's offensive linemen, and we just brought in two more guys, whether it's a top-end receiver next year. You know, they got Devin Singletary, who I think is a very good value grab for them. But if the Giants go into the next offseason and have a really, really cheap secondary, you know, cheaper, you know, position players that, you know, really focuses in on positional value, and we don't get a WR1 this year, maybe we get a quarterback, whether it's McCarthy or May, whoever, and you go into next year's free agency class and, you know, Justin Jefferson or CeeDee Lamb or one of these big names ends up there and available, the Giants have $30+ million per season to throw at one of these guys. I think at least one of them will hit the free agent market. Maybe Brandon Ayuk is the guy the Giants want to go after. Proven commodity, WR1, needs more volume in an offense that really relies on the running game. He consistently has over 1,000 yards a year. But I'm really interested to see what the Giants do here. I think keeping costs down in the secondary is obviously ideal because you don't really want to overpay cornerbacks. As you mentioned, the decline in quarterbacks is steep and fast. So keeping that price down for a 21-year-old like Lasseter, if you do get that quarterback, if you do get that receiver, the second round kind of opens up anyway. So I do like that option a lot. I'm sure a lot of people who are Georgia fans will agree with you on that one. But if you are interested in other cornerbacks in the draft, let us know some names, and we'll take a look at them for you over the next couple weeks, as I think we're about 5 weeks away from the draft now.
Yep, we're getting really close to the draft. There are some other players. There's TJ Tampa out of Iowa State. He's 6'2", 22 years old, 200 pounds. He's physical as well. I don't think Kool-Aid McKinstry is making it to pick number 47. If he does, I would probably sprint and do jumping jacks up to the podium to hand that card in. I love Kool-Aid McKinstry. I love what he brings in man coverage, of course, Alabama cornerback. And Ennis Rackestraw out of Missouri. He's a player that I know a lot of guys are really high on. These are all players who could be in that 47 overall range. Kyrie Jackson out of Oregon, too. 6'3", 195 pounds player there. Starting caliber players all right here. There's going to be a starting cornerback on the board for the Giants at number 47. It's just whether or not they want to address that position with that pick. And that's, of course, going to be determined by what they do in the first round. Because if they go quarterback in the first round, you can almost bet everything they're going wide receiver in the second round. But if they go wide receiver in the first round, they're open to do whatever they want in round two. And like I said, there's starting cornerbacks who will be on the board. Like guys who could step into the league year one and be starters opposite Deontay Banks if you need them to. Maybe you don't want them to. Maybe you just have them step in there eventually with Nick McCloud as the starter in the meantime. Maybe they view McCloud as a bridge player. That's totally possible as well. But there will be starters at the cornerback spot on the board with the number 47 overall pick if the Giants want to go that way. So those are a few of the names. I like Lasseter quite a bit. I think that what he brings in terms of his technicality and his fundamentals and his ability to play both man and zone and his size and aggression, those are all things that I like in cornerback. So I like Lasseter as a high floor kind of player, maybe not the highest ceiling, but definitely has a high floor in my opinion going into the NFL. But overall, I think CB2 Big position of need for the Giants. One I think that they would have liked to address sooner, but of course they had some money to hand out elsewhere. Had to address offensive line. Brought in Brian Burns. Don't have a lot of money to spend elsewhere, but of course we know that they will be making some moves because right now in terms of effective salary cap space, meaning how much money they have in cap space plus whatever they have to spend on free on their draft class, they are actually in the negative by $300,000. So no matter what, the Giants do have to make roster moves to free up at least $300,000, and they'll probably try and free up more money than that so that they can spend a little bit here before they get to free agency or even after, or before they get to the draft or even after the draft to add a few more free agent talents. But Alex, any closing thoughts on the CB2 competition, the CB2 kind of search, you know, who they can find, who they can maybe think of signing, just any closing thoughts on the situation in general?
Maybe the veterans on the board. I honestly wouldn't be really upset if we took a really cheap option on Tre'Davious White. I know he's been injured lately, but he's gonna get like a veteran minimum deal, you know what I mean? He played like 250 snaps last year, former All-Pro. He has the connection to Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. I get why they would give him an option to present his case. Maybe he wants to go to a team that's a little bit more ready to win, but I don't think any team's bringing him in. I don't think a winning team right now is bringing him in to be a starter because of the liability of an injury. But if you're the Giants, you don't have that much money. He's an experienced guy. He's only 29 years old. I know the drop-off is steep, but you know you might be able to get a little bit more juice out of his legs before he ends up taking that big decline, and then he's out of the league inevitably. But you know, maybe you want to give him a chance to compete. You know, bring him in on a really cheap contract, draft somebody, and just let there be a competition. Maybe one of those guys kicks into the slot, whether it's Cordell Flott or whoever. Maybe Nick McLeod. I love his aggression and running kind of qualities and stopping the run. So maybe he even kicks into the slot, see how he fares there. You know, there are options here. You know, the Giants do have a little bit of flexibility. White, with his experience and his familiarity with the Giants brass, it does make sense tangibly that there could be a connection. So would be curious to see how much he gets on the open market. I doubt it's much because of the concerns. But yeah, I think that's kind of wraps up my point and perspectives. Giants have options. They're clearly waiting quite a long time. I don't necessarily know why, but it certainly the more they wait definitely lends it to itself to think they may be looking at someone in the draft that they really like who could be a developmental piece and, you know, maybe start on day one.
Yeah, I think it's more so just the talent pool and free agency right now at cornerback is not very exciting. All these guys have major red flags, and most of them are probably still going to be around after the draft. So maybe it's kind of a situation where the Giants are thinking, if we can land a nice cornerback in the draft, then we don't need to sign somebody. If we can't, then we'll go ahead and find somebody on the free agency market post-draft in the spring to get ready for OTAs and everything. I think that's probably where the Giants are heading with this one. But there are some good talents, and honestly, the more we talk about them, the more we look at them, don't sleep on Nick McLeod. Maybe it is Nick McLeod season. Maybe he can be the Giants CB2 this year. Again, I'd like to see them try and raise that floor and ceiling, go after somebody else that they think has higher potential there. But Nick McLeod, I think he could be a quality starter for this team if they need him to be. Again, nothing elite, not a shutdown cornerback, but can he play 17 games for you at a decent level? I think that he could. So keep an eye on Nick McLeod. I think that's going to be my closing thought and takeaway from this. But overall, the Giants still need to add talent to CB2. Hope you guys were interested in some of the names that we mentioned. And if there's anybody else that you want us to break down or discuss, you know what to do. Drop it down below in the comment section. So make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed this episode. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss an episode. And comment your thoughts on all the topics down below in the comment section. If you're listening to Apple or Spotify, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review. And go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. But without further ado, we will catch you on the next one. Have a good one. And let's go Giants.